The House will come to order. Today is Tuesday, February 26, 2008. This is the 12th day of the 2008 budget session of the 59th Wyoming Legislature. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Here. Anderson. Here. Bagby. Here. Berger, here. Blake, here. Brechtel, here. Brown, here. Buchanan, here. Childers, here. Kraft, here. Davison, here. Dirks, here. Dockstetter, here. Edmonds, here. Edwards, here. Esquivel F., here. Esquivel K., here. Gilmore, here. Gingery, here. Goggles, Hales, here. Hallinan, here. Hammonds, Harshman, here. Harvey, Harvey, here. Eichel, here. Illaway, here. Yagi, here. Jones, here. Jorgensen, Landon, here. Lockhart, here. Lubno, here. Madden, Martin, Martin, here. McComey, McComey, Mercer, here. Meyer, here. Miller, Miller, Millen, Olson, here. Peterson, here. Philp, here. Korberg, here. Samuelson, here. Simlek, here. Shepperson, here. Simpson, here. Slater, here. Stewart, here. Stubson, here. Teeters, here. Thompson, here. Throne, here. Wallace, here. Warren, here. White, here. Swanitzer Dan, here. Swanitzer Dave, here. Mr. Speaker, here. McComey,
our blessing for the day will be offered by the pastor Ernest J. Fitzhugh, representing Unity Missionary Baptist Church, Cheyenne. Pastor Fitzhugh.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you. Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, we come once again to give you praise, honor, and glory for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Our gracious Lord and Master, as we gather here to do the work of your kingdom, we acknowledge that we are unworthy and unqualified to do so. But we bring to you our separate and our collective sins with us, asking you to forgive us for Jesus' sake. Restore to us the joy and anticipation of working in this legislative session, asking Heavenly Father that you would touch each and every member here, that you would guide them and lead them in their decision making that would benefit we, the community of Cheyenne, the state of Wyoming. We thank you, Lord, for all the many blessings you've already bestowed upon us. And I ask Heavenly Father that you would bless the families of these that are here and bless the one that was injured, that you would heal her, that you would keep us all in your keeping care, and allow us to do those things today that brings glory and honor to your name as we come together to grant what we say, that we might give you the glory and serve you even further as we serve the state, as we serve the city, as we serve your people. And these things I do pray in the precious and almighty name of your Son, Jesus. And the people of God said, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please join me in our pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
The last one that we have to be read in, or
that's the last one. You don't have 7, 8, and 43.
Unless they came in while I was had my back turned. Let me look.
Check and see. Would you see? Any?
know, are we supposed to have that? I don't have any.
The House will come to order.
If she could come stand on the side.
What's that rule number 9?
9-3C.
The reading clerk will read the Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 25, 2008 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Teeters, Representative Millens.
The chair notes with incredible relief that the return of the representative from Sheridan County. Welcome back, Representative Eichel. We won't ask for a speech. Members of the House, as you know, the legislature of the state of Wyoming belongs to some very incredible organizations, one of them being the NCSL. Their representative, Kay Warnock, Wyoming's liaison from the National Conference of State Legislatures, will be here today and tomorrow to visit with all of you about their services. Mrs. Warnock will arrive at about 10 a.m. She is here today, and she'll be in the House lobby throughout the morning and through the Senate lobby this afternoon. Tomorrow, she'll spend most of her time morning in the Senate lobby and in the House lobby tomorrow afternoon. Ms. Warnock has prepared a report summarizing NCSL services. You all should have a copy of that. She'd be happy to visit with any of you out in the lobby at any time that is beneficial to you. Our doctor for the day will be Dr. Homan Balurian from Cheyenne. Our nurse of the day will be Kizzy Fisher from Ivinson Memorial Hospital. Thank you very much for your service to the legislature. Representative Millen.
Mr. Speaker, may I have privilege of the floor?
You certainly may.
Colleagues, I would like to introduce to you today some students from the Surgical Technology Program at Laramie County Community College. We have, just wave when I say your name, we have Jamie Sesko. She lives in Laramie and does plan to work in Laramie upon graduation. We have Sarah Farthing, who lives in Iron Mountain and could work in either Laramie or Cheyenne. And then we have Holly Hayward, who moved here from Alaska just to go to this program, and she plans to work in Cheyenne at this time unless any of you have an opening in your city. Give her a call. And then the instructor of the Surgical Technology Program is Catherine Snyder. And the president of LCCC was going to be here and didn't make it, but Dr. Daryl Hammond, if you're listening, here's to you. Thank you.
Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Members of the body, many of you remember General File in 2005, the last bill on the last day that we passed created the Wyoming Youth Challenge Program. I'm pleased to introduce them today in the North Gallery. This is this spring semester class, along with their teacher, Shannon Bueller. If you would please make them feel welcome.
Members of the House, we are at that order of business of Senate files on first reading. The first Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 5.
Senate File 5, introduced by Senator Fecht.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to criminal offenses, peace officers, probation, and parole agents.
Senate File 5 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 42.
Senate File 42, introduced by Senator Ross.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to courts, Wyoming Court Security Act.
Senate File 42 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 40.
Senate File 40, introduced by Senator Ross.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Uniform Trust Code.
Senate File 40 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 66.
Senate File 66, introduced by the Judiciary Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to community juvenile services.
Senate File 66 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 65.
Senate File 65, introduced by the Judiciary.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to criminal procedure, post-conviction relief petitions, DNA evidence.
Senate File 65 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 29.
Senate File 29, introduced by Senator Coe.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Wyoming Public Library Endowment Challenge Program.
Senate File 29 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 38.
Senate File 38, introduced by Senator Case.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to descriptive terms for persons with cognitive deficiencies.
Senate File 38 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 70.
Senate File 70, introduced by the Education Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to school finance.
Senate File 70 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 54.
Senate File 54, introduced by the Management Council.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to school finance rebated recapture.
Senate File 54 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 27.
Senate File 27, introduced by Senator Ross.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to counties, county nuisance abatement authority.
Senate File 27 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 58.
Senate File 58, introduced by the Agriculture Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state trust land revenues.
Senate File 58 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 76.
Senate File 76, introduced by Senator Burns.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to private roads.
Senate File 76 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 26.
Senate File 26, introduced by the Corporation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
Act relating to business entities, registered agents.
Senate File 26 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 88.
Senate File 88, introduced by Senator Meyer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to inmate medical parole.
Senate File 88 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 19.
Senate File 19, introduced by Senator Fecht.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public health and safety, clandestine drug laboratories remediation.
Senate File 19 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 62.
Senate File 62, introduced by the Labor Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to emergency medical technicians.
Senate File 62 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 85.
Senate File 85, introduced by Senator Scott.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to health insurance, health care reform pilot project.
Senate File 85 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 47.
Senate File 47, introduced by the Select Developmental Programs.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Wyoming State Training School Amendments.
Senate File 47 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 36.
Senate File 36, introduced by the Labor Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public health and safety emergency volunteers.
Senate File 36 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 24.
Senate File 24, introduced by the Labor Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to health insurance clinical trials.
Senate File 24 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 13.
Senate File 13, introduced by the Mental Health Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to Mental Health Professions Practice Act.
Senate File 13 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 21 engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Goggles, Yeagy, McComey, Teeters, Wallace, White, sign representing McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 7, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Brechtel, Dirks, Edmonds, Samuelson, Semlek, Teeters, Wallace, Wanitzer, Dan, sign representative Samuelson, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 8, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Brechtel, Dirks, Edmonds, Samuelson, Semlek, Teeters, Wallace, Wanitzer, Dan, sign representing Samuelson, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 43 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Brechtel, Dirks, Edmonds, Samuelson, Semlek, Teeters, Wallace, Wanitzer, Dan, sign representing Samuelson, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 11 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brown, Illaway, Martin, Meyer, Stepson, Zwanitzer, Dan. No, Miller, Quarberg. Excused, Gilmore. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 48, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Illaway, Martin, Meyer, Miller, Quarberg, Stepson, Zwanitzer, Dan. Excused, Gilmore. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman.
Members of the House, we are now at that order of business of bills on second reading.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pursuant to Rule 9-3-C, I would ask that Senate File 44 be laid back on second reading for an additional day.
That request is in order. Senate File 44 will be laid back one day till tomorrow's second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 2.
Senate File 2, introduced by Senator Burns, an act relating to the Select Committee on Natural Resources Funding.
Senate File 2, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 3.
Senate File 3, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to game and fish funding.
Senate File 3, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 4.
Senate File 4, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to foreclosure and redemption of realty sold under mortgage and execution.
Senate File 4, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 9.
Senate File 9, introduced by the Management Audit Committee, an act relating to the Uniform Management of Public Employee Retirement Systems Act.
There is an amendment. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move second a reading amendment number one to Senate File 9. This bill, as it was drafted, tried to dictate the application of the Governmental Claims Act in two areas. One was to the Wyoming Retirement Board in the section of the statutes that defines that board. The other was to the Volunteer Firemen's Pension Board in the section of the statutes that establishes that board. And then there was some convoluted language in here that we had some discussion about, where we're trying to make the Governmental Claims Act apply to the individual board members, but not let the trustees necessarily have the benefit of that act. What this amendment does is make a change in a section of the statutes we have called the Uniform Management of Public Employees Retirement Act. And that starts at section 93433 in the statutes. And that act says this act applies to all retirement programs and retirement systems except, and then it has some carve-outs there that don't apply here. So what I've done, Mr. Speaker, in this amendment is introduce some additional language in the Uniform Management of Public Employees Retirement Act that will apply to both the Retirement Board and the Fireman's Pension Board that gives the benefit of the Wyoming Governmental Claims Act to board members. And it specifically says that individual board members are deemed to be public employees, which means they get the benefit of the Governmental Claims Act and are granted immunity from liability while acting within the scope of administering and operating the retirement system, including while in the performance of their fiduciary duties. So it makes it clear by putting it in the definition that it applies to both boards. It gives the board members the benefit of the Governmental Claims Act as long as they act within the scope of their duties. And that's true of everyone in state government who's under the Governmental Claims Act. If they go outside the scope of their duties, then they have personal liability, and there was some attempt in here to define that before, but that's a given under the Governmental Claims Act. If one stays within the scope of one's duties, then one has protection. If one strays outside that, then personal liability and all kinds of bad things begin to happen. So I believe, Mr. Speaker, that this accomplishes what was intended in the bill, and it gives it blanket application to both boards in a manner that was intended, and I would urge your favorable consideration. I stand for any questions, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker.
Representative Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Unencumbered by a Juris Doctorate, it appears to me that this is accomplishing the same objectives, as far as I can tell. But I do have a question. Do we still have a conflict with the MPRSA Act, having not gone into that and taken out that part that specifies personal liability, even though we've added this?
Further discussion. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not sure I can answer that question at this point. I would suggest you pass the amendment on second reading, give us an opportunity to consider that, and if it's needed, we'll do something on third reading, Mr. Speaker.
The motion is to adopt second reading amendment number one to Senate File 9. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 9 has been adopted. Senate File 9 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 17.
Senate File 17, introduced by the School Facilities Committee, an act relating to school facilities infrastructure costs.
Senate File 17, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 32.
Senate File 32, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to parole, authorizing changes in length of parole.
Senate File 32, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 49.
Senate File 49, introduced by Senator Van Flattern, an act relating to taxation and revenue in regarding impact assistance payments.
Senate File 49, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 52.
Senate File 52, introduced by Management Council, an act relating to construction of statutes, compensation for boards and commissions.
Senate File 52, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 61.
Senate File 61, introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to school finance recapture payments.
Senate File 61, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 64.
Senate File 64, introduced by the Judiciary, an act relating to juveniles, valid court orders.
Senate File 64, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 68.
Senate File 68, introduced by Senator Nicholas, an act relating to judicial retirement.
Senate File 68, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to make an announcement first before I announce the consent list. Many of you have received threatening emails, or one threatening email, and the Department of Criminal Investigation has that in hand and is investigating that, so there's no need to print them off or turn them into security. It is being investigated, just so you're all aware. Mr. Speaker, I move third reading consent list of House Bill 42, House Bill 51, House Bill 69, House Bill 75, House Bill 106, House Bill 107, House Bill 108, House Bill 130, House Bill 142, and House Bill 169.
Would any member desire any of the mentioned bills removed from the consent list? Seeing none, having been read three separate times, the reading clerk will read the bills through the enacting clause.
House Bill 42, introduced by Representative Landon, an act relating to the legislature constituent service allowance, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 51, introduced by Representative Edwards, an act relating to motor vehicle registration handicap license plates, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 69, introduced by the Management Council, an act relating to revision of inadvertent errors, the Revisor's Bill, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 75, introduced by the Management Council, an act relating to legislative per diem, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill number 106, introduced by Representative Anderson, an act relating to Brands Sheep Feedlot Exportation Permit, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 107, introduced by Representative Anderson, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding property tax relief, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 108, introduced by Representative Buchanan, an act relating to railroads and public highway crossings, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 130, introduced by Representative Davison, an act relating to the establishment of highways regarding public roads, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 142, introduced by Representative Edwards, an act relating to driver services, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 169, introduced by Representative Dirks, an act relating to public improvements bid requirements, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall House Bill 42, House Bill 51, House Bill 69, House Bill 75, House Bill 106, House Bill 107, House Bill 108, House Bill 130, House Bill 142, and House Bill 169 pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Berger, Blake, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Dockstetter, Edmonds, Edwards, Esquivel F, Esquivel K, Gilmore, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Eichel, Illaway, Eichel, Illaway, Yagi, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubnow, Madden, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Olson, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Samuelson, Simlick, Shepperson, Simpson, Slater, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Warren, White, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gilmore, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 60 ayes. As to House Bill 42, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to House Bill 51, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to House Bill 69, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to House Bill 75, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to House Bill 106, are there any changes? Dirks, aye to no. Millen, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Simpson, aye to no. Throne, aye to no. Gilmore, aye to no. Alden, aye to no. Philp, aye to no. Goggles, aye to no. Martin, aye to no. Eichel, aye to no. Berger, aye to no. Blake, aye to no. Jones, aye to no. McComey, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 44 ayes, 16 noes. As to House Bill 107, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 ayes. As to House Bill 108, are there any changes? Gilmore, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Philp, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Jorgensen, aye to no. Warren, aye to no. McComey, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 53 ayes, 7 noes. As to House Bill 130, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 ayes. As to House Bill 142, are there any changes? Goggles, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Gingery, aye to no. Korberg, aye to no. Alden, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Philp, aye to no. Gilmore, aye to no. Olson, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Jones, aye to no. Simpson, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Harvey, aye to no. Lubno, aye to no. Mercer, aye to no. Dirks, aye to no. Warren, aye to no. Bagby, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 39 ayes, 21 noes. As to House Bill 169, are there any changes? Dockstetter, aye to no. Oh, Dockstetter conflict, excuse me. Brechtel, aye to no. Zwanitzer, Dan, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 57 ayes, 2 noes, 1 conflict.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 42, House Bill 51, House Bill 69, House Bill 75, House Bill 106, House Bill 107, House Bill 108, House Bill 130, House Bill 142, and House Bill 169 have passed the House. We return to that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 117.
House Bill 117, introduced by Representative Harvey, an act relating to educational services for preschool children with disabilities, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, we had our discussion a couple days ago. This bill was laid back a day about estimates or actual child counts. As you read the statute, I dug into a little more. The federal count is on December 1st. Anyway, I tried to kind of make this correlate with what we do in our public schools. Part of this bill is coming as a fix because if you read the original language in the statute, you can't really tell whether it was the fiscal year, the previous year, or the next biennium. It was pretty unclear. But we all have a certain problem with the word estimates because estimates, as you know, tend to always come in high and not low. So, Mr. Chairman, but I would like to commend the good representative from House District 26. She went to work on this and I think has a better fix than my fix. So at this time, Mr. Chairman, I would, with your permission, withdraw third reading amendment number one, and I would encourage the body to support, I believe it's third reading amendment number two. I don't have a copy in front of me. So I'd like to withdraw that, Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, third reading amendment number one to House Bill 117 has been withdrawn. We are now on third reading amendment number two. Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I'd like to thank the fine representative from Natrona County for his work on this. It brought to light some things. And I think that as we work together as a team, we're able to come out with a better work product. And he was correct with working on the estimates. And as we developed this bill, there were times that you did need to work with estimates, but it wasn't the legislative work. It was the governor's budget work that was estimated. But because of the last amendment that was withdrawn, it did create discussion. And I think that we're able to come with a better work product. If you'll look on page 2 of your bill, I'd like to actually start on the bottom of page 1 and just read to you what this amendment will do. For purposes of calculating payments to service providers for the subsequent fiscal year and preparing the division's budget request to the legislature, the division shall multiply the number of children age birth through five with disabilities who are eligible for DD preschool services on November 1st. So that is a specific date, and it is a specific number of children. It still allows in the preparation of the governor's budget for him to have the number soon enough that he can use that definitive number in his budget process. And then at the end of beginning on line 9, it says eligibility shall be determined by the state rules and regs governing eligibility determinations for individual education plan or an individual family service plan. And what that does is, if I could explain just a little bit of the process, the developmental preschools put a big push on in that late summer, early fall to identify children so that they can keep them for the maximum time for their benefit, so that they can have the time needed to develop those, hardwire that brain, and to use utilize the services that are provided. So they first do the screening, and through the screening process identify those that need further evaluation. By November 1st, they will know how many children are eligible for services. By December 1st, all of the IEPs and IFSPs will be signed. So that November 1st date is a hard count of children who are eligible. And then the December 1st date, which is the federal count, will remain in effect. And I would think if any changes from November 1st to December 1st, it would be that the developmental preschools could identify more children during that time. And so and the final part of this is on page 2, line 18. You'll see that we deleted little I and little R, and that is the external cost adjustment in the school system, and those two sections have been repealed previous by this body. So it just acknowledges that. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I would ask, I had a chart distributed to your graph, to your desk this morning, and it is a graph that describes the different programs, the developmental preschools, the children's waiver, the adult waiver, and the acquired brain injury waiver. And it's just a matrix that shows you how these different programs interact and how they do not. But with that, Mr. Speaker, I would urge the body to vote aye on this amendment. And I hope I moved it. If not, I will move third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 117.
Further discussion. Question being called. The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 117. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no. House Bill 117 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Aye. Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Berger. Aye. Blake. Aye. Brechtel. Brown, aye. Buchanan, no. Childers, aye. Kraft, aye. Davison, aye. Dirks, aye. Dockstetter, aye. Edmonds, aye. Edwards, aye. Esquivel F, aye. Esquivel K, aye. Gilmore, aye. Gingery, aye. Goggles, aye. Hales, aye. Hallinan, aye. Hammonds, aye. Harshman, aye. Harvey, aye. Eichel, aye. Illaway, aye. Yagi, Jones, aye. Jorgensen, aye. Landon, aye. Lockhart, aye. Lubnow, aye. Madden, aye. Martin, aye. McComey, aye. Mercer, aye. Meyer, aye. Miller, aye. Millen, aye. Olson, aye. Peterson, aye. Philp, aye. Quarburg, aye. Samuelson, aye. Simlick, aye. Shepperson, aye. Simpson, aye. Slater, aye. Stewart, aye. Stubson, aye. Teeters, Thompson, aye. Throne, aye. Wallace, aye. Warren, aye. White, aye. Swanitzer Dan, aye. Swanitzer Dave. No. Mr. Speaker, aye. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 noes.
House Bill 117, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 117 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 118.
House Bill 118, introduced by Representative Hallinan, an act relating to civil actions regarding loss of chance doctrine abrogated, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are some amendments. Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 118. Fellow colleagues, here we are again to discuss this amorphous concept of the loss of chance doctrine. And in preparation for this, I was reminded of a quote that, if you would indulge me, I'm sure you've all heard this. There are known knowns. There are things we know. There are known unknowns. That is to say, there are things we know we don't know. But there are also unknown unknowns, and these are things we don't know that we don't know. Here we find ourselves in the confusing position of trying to speculate on speculation. This confusion in front of us today was created by our Supreme Court, trying to fill a gap, if you will, that it perceived in the comparative negligence statute. In other words, we see some legislating from the bench. The amendment I'm trying to delete here with my amendment may in fact be a better position than this unbridled loss of chance doctrine that has been legislated to us from the bench. However, it does concede that our Supreme Court is able to legislate from the bench. I say may because I believe that this amendment, this agreement that has been made, I believe it is not better. Statements were made when this was presented that this was a great day, that our doctors and lawyers have come and met in the middle, and we should agree to this. Well, since that day, I can tell you that I have found out that yes, in fact, or no, in fact, we are all not in complete agreement on this. In fact, what we are hearing is that we may have done something to some of our doctors that have and may put them in a position that we don't want to put them in. That, in fact, we may be making doctors liable in cases where the plaintiff has not proven negligence to a probability, but only to a chance. I firmly believe this is a step in the wrong direction, and I think our only choice is to vote on the bill in its original form, and where we take a position that we do abrogate this loss of chance doctrine. Thank you.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the opportunity to respond to my good colleague from the southern part of the state, compared to where I'm from anyway. A trial is a test of the truth. And in the loss of chance doctrine, we're talking about probability and statistics. We're talking about 51%, 1%, 25%. Some would say that this is not a good thing. Some of these letters that we get, that we've gotten, or emails, I think, assume that there is 100% chance on anything in life, that we know anything by 100%. So not only do we have the unknowns, but we also have the lack of certainty. And medical science is not an exact science. Legal science is not an exact science. This amendment attempts to find a balance in what science can offer about probabilities and the needs of our patients who are injured through medical malpractice. Some will say it's not fair that only doctors have to deal with this issue like this, that other professions don't have to. And I agree. I agree with that. But the Supreme Court of the state of Wyoming has decided otherwise. The Supreme Court issued the McMacken Doctrine, which said that the loss of chance, even down to 1%, potentially, can be enough to find a doctor has committed malpractice. So, we don't have the option of walking away from this issue and saying that the present status quo is okay. The status quo is not okay. This bill, which is a finely tuned compromise, I think, this amendment is a finely tuned compromise that will allow us to find that balance in dealing with these difficult issues. If we make the wrong choice here, well, I guess we can come back to it again. No bill in this legislature is ever going to be a perfect piece of legislation. We can approach that. But if we can get a good piece of legislation, one that offers the opportunity for us to make an improvement in the mess of malpractice litigation at the present time, if we can offer one little bit of hope, then we've done our job. And we'll have to wait and see how the courts apply that, how the trial lawyers and how the defense lawyers apply that. Now, I was hoping not to have to show you this little diagram that I made up again, but I guess I do. And if you'd look down in the left-hand corner, you'll see that little cartoon there. And what I think some of the emails we've gotten indicates that both that the people in the legal profession think that we're kind of like that guy in that diagram who, if we touch something, it's going to collapse altogether. Well, I don't think that's true. I think we are like that guy who's trying to put things back together that is in the shambles that's shown in that cartoon. Now, this amendment, I think, was finely tuned. It's kind of like if you think back on the eminent domain issue that we dealt with last year. A lot of people thought if we changed that compromise, that bill would go down to defeat. And that's what I'm afraid of if this amendment is stripped. I don't know. Maybe we can get 31 votes here. Maybe we can get some votes on the other side. But there is the potential that we'll walk away from this bill. The bill will go down to defeat, and nothing will happen. And that shambles that you see in that cartoon will continue. So I urge the defeat of this amendment to take back the amendment that was agreed to previously by both the Medical Society and the trial lawyers. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Stubson.
Mr. Speaker, members of the House, I've really struggled mightily with this amendment and the possible implications of the amendment and which direction to head on it, but I rise and I speak against the amendment. And I do so, I guess, from a basis of practicality more than anything else. I come from a firm that does a lot of medical malpractice work defending doctors, and so that certainly colors my perspective on these things. And I have a strong disagreement with what the Supreme Court did with loss of chance. But with that said, you know, I've received a number of emails from across the state from my brethren who do a lot of medical malpractice work defending doctors, and there's been a great deal of gnashing of teeth regarding the bill as it currently stands. The fact of the matter is, however, that the state of the law in Wyoming is that loss of chance exists, and loss of chance exists for any percent of the loss of chance. And this bill, as amended, takes a step of kind of shaving down those cases and where we look at loss of chance. And it shaves it down to the point where we look at, you know, did the doctor have a substantial impact on the outcome of this case? Can they prove that there was a, you know, at least a reduction in 25% of this person's ability to survive? And I think that takes us a step in the right direction. And I'm tempted to stand here and kind of beat my feet and say, no, the only way to go is to eliminate and abrogate the loss of chance doctrine completely. And really, in my heart of hearts, that's what I would rather happen. But I think this is a viable compromise. It provides certainty, and in my mind, that's one of the most important things that this body can do, is to provide some certainty of what are the ground rules for those physicians and those patients, those trial attorneys, as we go forward. And I think this bill, as amended, takes a step in the right direction of doing that. So I would urge you to oppose the amendment, adopt the bill as it has been amended, and we can send it down the hall. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess we have to step back and talk about practically what we're trying to do here. The loss of chance doctrine says that if a doctor, through some, let's put it in a practical sense, fails to diagnose a cancer, and somebody's chance of living is decreased from 75% down to 50%, that's an actionable thing. Whether the person gets better or not, the actionable thing is that loss of chance of getting better. And that's what the lawsuit is for. That provides some opportunity maybe for mischief. When you get into that 1, 2, 3% loss of chance, who knows? I mean, how do you determine? The testimony in the committee was, well, expert witnesses determine that. Well, how do they know? But there are some statistically significant failures to diagnose that can cost people a very significant opportunity to get better. And the Supreme Court has determined that that opportunity to get better is actionable. So what this compromise does is it deals with the potential for mischief while at the same time preserving the rights for a major loss, an action on a major loss. And so I think that the organizations who lobbied this bill, who finally agreed on it, reached a marvelous and diplomatic compromise. Now, there's still some wailing and gnashing of teeth that we're getting from some defense attorneys saying, well, don't say that. Don't give this the imprimatur of the blessing of the legislature for some things actionable. But I think in terms of what we're doing here, both for the people who've been hurt by mistakes and for our practitioners in the state of Wyoming, is a marvelous balance, and I think that we ought to consider that in our vote.
Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let me make it abundantly clear to the body that I'm not a doctor, I'm not an attorney, and I'm not married to either one. I have received innumerable correspondence and emails from docs and attorneys. So if I'm not quite as eloquent as some of our brethren, Please forgive me. But I think you need to take a look at, and let me say that I am on and for first reading amendment that we're discussing. I think you have to think about what the court said, and the court probably needs to continue to work through the loss of chance doctrine without us meddling and putting percentages that we have supposedly said is a compromise. Once it's in statute, yes, it can be changed, but I think we need to be very, very careful what we put into statutes. The other thing is, let's talk about health care. If your health care, and we have seen it in this body, in my 10 years, I have seen the increase in health care. Why? Because docs will continue to ask for every possible procedure to make sure that they didn't miss anything. Every time you go in and the doc says, well, gee whiz, are you feeling good? Well, I don't know. Well, let's check. And then they'll check again. And they'll check again. And I suspect that that's one reason that healthcare costs continue to rise, because you're subjected to tests that docs want so that they won't be sued. I'm not sure what it really means as a percent. In other words, we're talking about down to 1%. What is 1% in a cancer patient? There are people out here north of town in a wonderful hospice center, and those people know that when they go there, they're not walking out of there. And their families know that too. But it's a wonderful place for them to go in dignity. I think we have to be very, very careful about what is called a compromise above 25%. I think we can find, anybody can find any expert in the United States to talk about, well, he might have had 5%. He might have lived a little bit longer. I think you can find anybody that can pick apart anything. We do it here in this body. We pick apart each other's amendments and bills. I think we just need to be extremely careful in how we look at a percent. And would you have, if the doc had done something, now I'm sure that docs do miss things, but I think we need to be very careful in going to the percent and saying this is a wonderful compromise. The loss of chance doctrine, as it originally came out of committee without any amendments, is much better than putting amendments on it of percents.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not going to apologize for being a lawyer, but while eloquence is a trait that the good last speaker had, it wasn't really on point, I think, in terms of this bill. I mean, this bill is about now saying, all right, well, now the loss of chance is between 25 and 100. Forget anything below that. As a physician, that would make me feel better, that at least I have a fighting chance to start with. But remember, who determines the percentage? The jury. They're the finder of fact. That's a question of fact. What percentage? you often have dueling experts in cases. One will give one opinion, the other will give another, and it's up to the jury to decide those issues. But the McMacken case says the damages recoverable by the plaintiff equals the total sum of the damages for the underlying injury or death multiplied by the percentage of the loss of chance. That's what this bill says. But it limits it to anything over 25% or greater. In Wyoming, if you file a suit for negligence and it is determined by the jury that your negligence is 51% or greater, you don't get a thing. Even though many other people may have contributed to your injury, if you're more than 50%, you're out of luck. So, and even if you're below that, it reduces your damage award to the percent, you know, reduces your damage award by the percentage of your own negligence. So we've already got this concept in statute. On and against the amendment, I think this is a reasonable compromise. We've been hashing this thing around for a number of years. We have things like this in statute, such as the comparative negligence statute, and it's not that unusual. It does not change any of the burdens of proof that a plaintiff would have to show. You still have to show that there was a duty and that there was a breach of the duty, and you have to show that beyond a preponderance of the evidence, that it's more likely than not that there was a breach. And then you have to show that the negligence caused the injury, and you have to show that by a preponderance of the evidence. The bill doesn't touch these standards at all. And then you have to show the injury and whether there was a loss of chance by a preponderance of the evidence. So, you know, this is really clarifying for practitioners and the people of Wyoming what the loss of chance would be. And believe me, there will be jurors, just as there are in any case, when they have the verdict form and it says, what was the plaintiff's percentage of negligence? They have to sit there and figure it out. And they may know, they may not know, that if I give them more than 50%, the plaintiff isn't going to get anything. And they may know whether there's insurance or not. But they will have to make that choice. And if the jury says it's 24%, the plaintiff won't get a thing. And if the jury says it's 26%, they'll get 26% of their damages. That's the way this will work, and those are jury questions that we ought to leave to the jury. Thank you.
Representative Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I very much appreciate the comments of the majority floor leader, because I think that that focuses on the horrible choice that we have to make this morning, where to draw the line. I'm going to advocate for the amendment for these reasons. You know, I went to a whammy, and I stated this in committee, and after listening to all this in committee, this is where I came down on this, and so I just wanted to share this with the body. I went to a whammy presentation a few years back, and the president of the medical school from the University of Washington said that, you know, we try our best to provide the most up-to-date, best medical education we can for all the students that come here. But he said it's likely that 50% of the information that we share and 50% of the practice will be proven in the future to be incorrect. And I think that had something to say about medicine and today's world and what our expectations are and what the reality of the situation is. I have a son who was involved with molecular biology at the university, or to the state to the west of us, and it's just phenomenal, the research and what we're finding out about humans more and more, and what a chemical soup we are, and how we can do so many things in the future. But right now there's a lot of uncertainty, and I think that we have to have the humility to recognize that. So the question is whether to leave that standard at 51%. And this isn't a standard of 51% of likelihood of a different outcome, but just of a chance of having a different outcome, or lowering that down to 25%. And so I decided, you know, in a perfect world where we could measure that in with some certainty, it would be a wonderful thing to be able to measure that. But the fact is that the experts aren't perfect in this. We're going to have a battle of experts in if it does, in fact, go to jury, but more likely it'll be driven to some kind of settlement beforehand. And the patients aren't perfect. Every patient is not going to react in the very same way. You know, we're all different. You don't know what kind of behaviors a patient is engaged in outside of their medical treatment. So that affects the person's chance. And doctors aren't perfect. And I think that we're just holding this one group up to a standard that's almost impossible to attain. So on and for the amendment, I in a perfect world, I'd be satisfied to go down to 25%. But in reality, I think that it's a standard that we're asking a superhuman expectations of. And I'm satisfied with 51%. I'll take my chances at that and keep a realistic degree of expectations in this. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd have to say that I agree with my colleagues on everything that has spoken, except for one part of it. And that's the final conclusion they came to vote in favor of this amendment, which I hope you would vote against. I think it's impossible for us to ignore the fact that the Supreme Court has made a decision, and they have left a lot of imprecision in that as to what this decision implies for medical practice in our state. I think this is an attempt to nail that down. I think it's a reasonable approximation of what should happen in the test of truth, which is a trial. And I would again urge you to vote no on this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for my second time. And I do want to make it known that there are many, many docs, and there are many, many attorneys, and I appreciate them all. There are some attorneys that are some of my best friends, so I hope that I don't hurt that friendship. But I had to look it up because it says loss of chance doctrine abrogated. Did anybody look that up to see what it means? I did. Because what it says is, in Webster's dictionary, loss of chance doctrine abrogated means to abolish by authoritative action or to do away with. And we heard the speaker behind me say that our highest court legislated from the bench. And that does happen. And unfortunately, it probably happens more than we want. So I would hope that you would think about this amendment, and I hope you would pass this amendment. It is absolutely important. This may be the most important bill that this House has looked at this session.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My action in bringing this amendment clearly is to stand in defense of doctors, as I hope you join me in this action, and just to shine a brighter light on one of the statements made when it was brought to me that we had found a compromise between the trial lawyers and the doctors. My first response was, why? This really wasn't the reason I came down here. And I think that on many of our issues, we do work to find compromise and middle ground. But for this issue, I stand firm in my belief that the first intention of the bill is where we need to stand. Thank you.
The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 118. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 118 has failed. We are now on third reading amendment number 2. Representative Illaway.
Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 118, and I will remove it shortly. We've had a wonderful discussion. I may not agree with what we've done, and I don't. But there's no sense in killing additional bills. Mr. Speaker, I withdraw this amendment.
Without objection, third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 118 has been withdrawn. House Bill 118, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Aye. Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Berger. Aye. Blake.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
No.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel F.
Aye.
Esquivel K.
No.
Gilmore.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Eichel.
Aye.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Samuelson.
Aye.
Semlek.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Slater.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stebson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Warren.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gilmore, no to aye. Are there other changes? The vote is closed. 54 ayes, 6 noes.
House Bill 118, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 118 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 127.
Senate File 127. House Bill 127, introduced by Representative Simpson, an act relating to controlled substances, prescription drugs, physician shopping, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are some amendments. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 127. This is a cleanup amendment, ladies and gentlemen. On page 3, Lines, it amends the Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. It had the word orders in it, and it should have said ordered. So that just cleans that up. And then Roman numeral subparagraph 5 read incorrectly with regard to the probation and the maximum term of imprisonment. And these two amendments were brought to me by our staff. I urge your adoption.
Further discussion. The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 127. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 127 has been adopted. We are now on third reading amendment number 2. Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment to House Bill 127, and I urge amendment number two, and I urge your support of it. This amendment, as all the bills and all the amendments, is a simple amendment. It simply takes out of the bill physicians and dentists, or physicians and pharmacists, when they prescribe or when they dispense medications. As I understand this bill, the reason it came up had to do more with maybe kids getting, at least, I don't know for sure, but I know that at least in the lobby that's what we heard, kids getting medications and mixing them up and having them in parties and things of that nature. I can't really see where this bill has an application in the sense to physicians in regard to that problem. The present law, which this this bill will change, says that no controlled substance in any schedule may be distributed or dispensed for other than an accepted medical indication. That's the current law. And those that violate that law will face up to 1 year in jail and a $10,000 fine. Now, the important aspect of this that I would urge you all to consider is that the law is that the medications must be given for a medical indication. And who primarily will be checking on that and making sure that that happens are the medical board, the board of pharmacy, and the DEA. Now, this bill, without the amendment, will cause doctors to have to be policing their patients for misrepresentation, fraud, etc. All of those items that are more easy to prove, and they are issues that will not be necessarily going before a medical board, or before the medical board, before the board of pharmacy, or the DEA. Those are issues that you will get local law enforcement involved in to a much greater degree. It's my position, and I would hope you would subscribe to it as well, that the medical board, the board of medicine, the board of pharmacy, the DEA are better at determining what medical indications are for the use of these substances than your local law enforcement agencies. If a doctor is violating those indications and giving medicines out inappropriately, the medical board, the board of pharmacy, the DEA are very adequate to do so. Now, what's one of the most emotional things that gets discussed in this legislature? Substance abuse. I don't know how many bills we face every year, every session, on substance abuse. Local law enforcement people, well-meaning as they are, do not know the science that's involved in the indications for medical treatment. I don't want to have to face the sheriff coming into my office looking at my files regarding medical indications, medical treatment. I'm comfortable to some degree, well, not very comfortable, with the idea of the DEA coming in there. But let's not expand this bill or this concept such that your doctor is afraid to give you medications that you need. How many of you have needed medications that are on those schedules at one time or another? Some say, well, yeah, let's make these doctors afraid to give those medicines. There's too much of it in our society. Let's crack down on that. Let's make sure they can't do that. Well, that has some negative consequences to it. It's hard to find doctors that are willing to face the DEA, the Board of Pharmacy, and the Board of Medicine at the present time and prescribe these medications for people that need them. If you know somebody that has chronic back pain, you probably also know somebody who has a hard time getting their medication because doctors are afraid to give them to people with medical indication because they do not want to face all of these bad consequences. This bill would increase their fear on and against or in favor of the amendment and against the bill unless amended. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm here having to make a choice between two of my favorite lobbying groups, the medical community and the law enforcement folks. I was asked by law enforcement to get on this bill, and you'll find me as a co-sponsor. If you read the bill, it says it's unlawful for any person knowingly or intentionally to acquire, obtain possession of, to procure or attempt to procure the administration of, to obtain a prescription for, or, and this is the part that's concerning, or to prescribe or dispense to any person known to be attempting to acquire or obtain possession of. So it has to be somebody that you know is acquiring or attempting to obtain possession of a prescription. There was a circumstance in my local community where a physician and his girlfriend entered into a relationship, and he prescribed lots of medicine to her, and I'm reading now out of our local paper, erasing all the names. It says, the state pharmacies board show that the doctor wrote two dozen separate prescriptions to the girlfriend between May 18th and November 22nd. The prescriptions were for methylene and methylphenidate hydrochloride, which are generics for the attention deficit disorder drug Ritalin. In all, doctor allegedly issued 3,000 tablets, or about 64,800 milligrams of the drugs, according to court documents. If the patient had taken the maximum recommended dosage of one of the dosage every one of the 193 days between May 18th and November 27th, that would have totaled 11,580 grams. So he issued six times the recommended daily prescriptions to this patient for this drug. And then law enforcement came to me and they said, because of our statutes and the exemptions for the medical community, we can only charge him with a misdemeanor. So they charged him with 27 counts of a misdemeanor for the 27 wrongful unlawful dispensings. So I guess the policy decision we have is whether we treat everybody equally under the law, and I'll just leave that to your choice.
Representative Warren.
Mr. Speaker, I'm speaking in favor of this amendment. There are a couple of things that I think are important to look at. Prescription drugs are the number one drug of choice right now among young people. Even among adults, is becoming more of a problem. Individuals get hooked. And this bill looks at that, and it says you can't be going to different doctors. You need to get a substance abuse assessment if you have been doing that or been found guilty of doing that. And even the young people that presented to us some great arguments to support this, which I supported, was looking at, we got to help people to stop doing this. So the focus in interpreting this bill, I believe, was on the person that's doing the shopping, was on the person that's getting hooked. And it's really easy to get hooked to some of these drugs. We even have situations where young people are looking at using all their parents' medications. They'll go to the medication cupboard and get stuff out and use it, and so do we hold the parents responsible. What this looks at is holding the individual who's using responsible. You can't do that. You try to set a standard, and then the standard becomes a choice. And although it's difficult to know when do we set standards and laws and when do we not, but the standard would be you just don't do that. You don't go to different doctors. You go to one doctor, you take all your prescriptions in, and so on. In my interpretation, this bill is not about the doctors or the pharmacist. And in the case we just heard, which is uncommon, but it happens, where maybe a doctor would prescribe to a friend or family member, there are rules that cover doctors' behavior, physicians' behavior. This could be an issue that could be dealt with by the board that oversees a physician or a pharmacist. There's a separate area for that. That's not, in my eyes, what this bill is about. This bill is about the person not shopping. So this amendment takes out the doctor and the pharmacist, leaves in the person who has the problem, and then we'll address that person through steps of getting an assessment or legal steps to help support a standard that you just don't do this. So I offer your encouragement to support this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Alden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this amendment to House Bill 127. The amendment affords the elements of respect and credibility to the system and also maintains an ability for the physician to communicate with the patient. If we place undue burden upon the physician in the context of this bill, I think we've done a real disservice in that there are many, many people out, patients out there that do benefit from these particular pharmaceuticals, and to inhibit that ability for that physician to make good, sound scientific judgment in which they are trained to do, I think we've done a great disservice. Without this amendment, I think I'm of the opinion that the bill is lacking in appropriate definition and credibility. Thank you.
Further discussion. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not sure how I rise on this amendment, actually, but I'd like to explain that comment. My intent in bringing this bill was to address the rampant rise of prescription drugs that are on our streets and that our young people are using, and in fact, adults are using, too. I'm shocked when I read stuff about prescription drugs and, you name it, it's used in some form that was not intended. So when I was looking at other states' laws on doctor shopping, I saw Utah, which is substantially similar to this, and it has the prescribe or dispense language in there that covers doctors and pharmacists. I thought that was a reasonable language, and but I also can see from a physician's perspective, I guess maybe more than a pharmacist, because I've heard more physicians talk about it than pharmacists, but when they are faced with someone who they suspect might be doctor shopping, they can send a fax in to the Prescription Drug Management Board. That comes back within 15 minutes and indicates where that person might have been and whether they're trying to obtain drugs. It's not the best method because it's not as current as one would like it to be. It's not real time. They report monthly, but the board is going, apparently, according to its director, to weekly reporting. So that'll help a lot as long as they can get that into the database. But when I look at the section cited by our good medical colleague from Gillette, who I have great respect for, I see that he cites that acceptable medical indication language, which says you can't prescribe unless there's an acceptable medical indication. And then the penalty provision is a civil fine of not more than $10,000. But if by complaint, information, or indictment, which alleges that the violation was committed knowingly or intentionally, and the trier of fact specifically finds that the violation was committed knowingly or intentionally, such person is punishable by imprisonment for not more than 1 year or a fine of not more than $10,000 or both. I read that to you just because of the knowing and intentional language in there, which is in this bill. On page 2 of the bill, it begins on line 1. It is unlawful for any person knowingly or intentionally. And then it cites what you cannot do. And the amendments, earlier amendments, broke out the prescriber and dispenser. So then when you look at the language that's in there now, on the standing committee amendment number 1, it is unlawful for any person knowingly or intentionally to prescribe or dispense to any person known to be acquiring possession of or to procure administration of any controlled substance by misrepresentation, fraud, forgery, deception, or subterfuge. So that physician has to know that that person is attempting to obtain that prescription by misrepresentation, fraud, forgery, deception, or subterfuge. Okay? Or they have to do it intentionally, they still have to know it anyway. They intentionally do it. So there's a pretty high standard there that any prosecutor would have to prove to convict a prescriber or dispenser under this statute. Do we need this in the bill to have a good effect? No. But I would like to be sure that those prescribers or dispensers out there who are breaking the law and who are knowingly dispensing medications that are not medically indicated, that we have something. I understand Title 35, the one I read you, that's got some penalty provisions in it. So I really ask you to make the policy decision here. I would like to move this bill forward to go to the Senate, and maybe they can have this discussion. I'd like to see it go with or without the prescriber and dispenser language in it. It doesn't make a great deal of difference to me whether that's in there or not, just as long as it keeps moving and we can continue to have this discussion. I am somewhat swayed by the opposition to, or the opposition to having that language in there. Our good colleague from Gillette, I know, treats people with chronic pain. He treats people that other physicians won't treat. And he feels he's in a position where he's on the line, possibly. And those people who he treats are very good liars. Some of them, I should say. Some of them are good liars, just like any one of us. But then there are also those chronic pain and the cancer patients who feel maybe that their physician who's prescribing for them isn't treating the pain like they would like to see it treated, either in themselves or their children. So they go to another doctor. And I would hope that this bill would require that person to be truthful with that next doctor and say, you know, we're being treated, but it's not what we want, and we need something different. You know, that way there's no misrepresentation, there's no fraud, there's no deceit, there's honesty. So the physician can actually treat the person reasonably. Can we expect that to happen? I'm not sure we can. So I leave it up to you on this particular provisions. When I look at other states, many of them, well, there are a few that have the prescriber and dispenser in it, but I can't tell if they've got it in other provisions of their statute like we do in our Medical Practice Act. I would assume that they do, and I don't know what the penalties are. I don't know why Campbell County couldn't prosecute that doctor under the Medical Practices Act. Because it is a criminal violation under Title 35. So really the guts of this bill are not this amendment. So, Mr. Speaker, I would leave it up to the body to make that policy choice right now. Thank you.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Mr. Majority Leader. I'm sure that some of his clients don't tell the truth, too. But so I would urge your support of this amendment. I don't think it hurts the bill. It will allow me to vote for the bill. And many others, I believe, also feel the same way. So thank you, Mr. Speaker. I urge adoption of the amendment.
The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 127. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no. Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 127 has been adopted. We are now on third reading amendment number 3. Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I respectfully withdraw this amendment.
Without objection, third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 127 has been withdrawn. House Bill 127 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, aye. Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
No.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel F.
Aye.
Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
No.
Hallinan. Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Eichel,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jones,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Martin, McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Samuelson,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Simpson,
aye.
Slater,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Warren,
aye.
White,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 noes.
Chairman Edwards.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem, may I have privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Members of the body, I'd like to call your attention up to the south balcony where we have some visitors from Douglas. We have Miss Linda Wolf, who is heading up the Douglas Alliance of Youth, and we have with her Beth Butler, Devin Thompson, Gretchen Gielisch, and Laura Fernandez. Please welcome to the floor.
House Bill number 127, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of members elected to the House, House Bill 127 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 135.
House Bill 135, introduced by Representative Cohey, an act relating to standards for petroleum products fuel disclosure, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker pro tem. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 135. Members of the House, you may remember the purpose of the bill is to ensure our public of what is in their fuel purchases. As you may remember, also there are consequences to having certain non-petroleum-related compounds in fuels assumed to be petroleum-based. But only to a point, many refiners and wholesalers will add a tiny compound to inhibit freezing in extreme cold temperatures. This amendment would allow for the blending of certain non-petroleum-related matter not to exceed 0.5% without having to be labeled on the fuel. I ask your consideration.
We are on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill number 135. Question having been called, all those in favor of third reading amendment number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The amendment is adopted. Back on the bill. Is there any discussion on the bill? Question having been called and House Bill 135 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson,
aye.
Bagby,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Dockstetter,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Esquivel F,
aye.
Esquivel K,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds, Harshman,
aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Eichel.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Horberg.
Aye.
Samuelson.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Slater.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Warren.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
House Bill 135, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 135 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 136.
House Bill 136, introduced by Speaker Cohey, an act relating to motor vehicles, died fuel enforcement, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 136, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Berger. Blake.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
No.
Childers.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
No.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel F.
Aye.
Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan. Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Eichel,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jones,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Olson,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
no.
Samuelson.
Aye.
Simlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Simpson.
No.
Slater.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters. Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Warren.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Alden, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Philp, aye to no. Anderson, aye to no. Are there other changes? The vote is closed, 47 ayes, 13 noes.
House Bill 136, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 136 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 155.
House Bill 155, introduced by Representative Lubnow, an act relating to health care services regarding recruitment of physicians and dentists, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 155, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Berger. Blake. Brechtel. Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
no.
Childers,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Dockstetter,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Esquivel F,
aye.
Esquivel K,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
conflict.
Hallinan Conflict, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman, Harvey, Eichel,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jones,
no.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
no.
Martin,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
no.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
no.
Millen,
aye.
Olson,
no.
Peterson, Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
no.
Korberg, Samuelson,
aye.
Simlick,
no.
Shepperson,
aye.
Simpson,
aye.
Slater,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stewart Conflict, Stubson,
aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Warren.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 45 ayes, 13 noes, 2 conflicts.
House Bill 155, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 155 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 1.
House Joint Resolution Number 1, proposed by Representative Brown, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to modify the signature requirement for a petition for an initiative or referendum, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Joint Resolution 1, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Ladies and gentlemen, it does require a 2-thirds vote, as it will be put to the people of Wyoming for a constitutional change. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
No.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel F.
No, no.
Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Eichel.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye. Yagi. Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
McComey. Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
No.
Olson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Samuelson.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Slater.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
Aye.
Warren.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 ayes, 4 noes.
House Joint Resolution 1, having received at least 2-thirds of the vote of those elected to the House of Representatives, House Joint Resolution 1 has passed the House. Representative Dan Swanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Members of the House, if you'd look behind me in the West Gallery, you will see the other half component of the Wyoming National Guard Challenge Program. If you'd please make them feel welcome as well. And they're good. Thank you.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, could I have privilege of the floor?
Certainly may.
Up in the gallery up here behind us, or in front of me, I'd like to introduce the Mayor of Rock Springs, Tim Como.
Representative Childers.
Mr. Speaker. After the good representative from Douglas made that introduction earlier, I was reminded of a story that I think you folks would appreciate. A number of years ago, when I was still working for the firm that I used to work for, we had a milestone in the company's life, and we had a big celebration in Cody. The governor of the state at that time was invited. The senior vice president was invited. He gave the big speech. And near the end of his speech, he asked the governor to speak, and he proudly got up and said, I would like to introduce you to Governor Douglas of Sullivan, Wyoming. And the governor just politely got up, spoke, and then later on, the senior vice president got a letter from the governor appreciating what he did and inviting him to it, and he said, really do appreciate it, and he signed it, Governor Douglas of Sullivan, Wyoming.
Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I have three announcements. The first one deals with being the self-appointed Tuesday uniform cop in the past, and we had Maroon Tuesday and Maroon Platoon, Ruby Tuesday, and I dropped the ball on it. I was chastised by the good banjo-playing representative from Green River, "Where's your jacket?" And I had to tell him that it had worn out and I tossed it, but I'll be back next fall or next season, assuming I get elected, to take on that responsibility again. Remembering on Tuesday you're supposed to wear ruby colors or maroon colors to be part of this uniform conformance. So that's announcement number one. The second announcement is I really appreciate all of the people who've signed up for the Race for the Cure and their checks. They're rolling in. Those of you who haven't done that and who plan to, please do that as soon as possible. Next week will be one of those weeks when we'll just flat run out of time. And last but not least on my announcements, behind you all and in front of me is our oldest son, Tom Lockhart, and he's the senior civilian Department of Defense effort in our intercontinental ballistic missile systems, and he and I are going to go to lunch as soon as we get this thing over with.
Representative Illaway. Chairman Illaway.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet promptly at noon in House 18. We will not discuss Senate File 26. That will be heard on Thursday. But we will discuss Senate File 41, Vacating Subdivisions, and Senate File 18, Business Entities Revisions.
Chairman Childers from Mule Shoe, Texas.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet Wednesday, February the 7th at 8 a.m., Room H10, to hear the following bills. Senate File 81, Fire Protection Districts, New Entities. Senate File 87, Capitol Building Restoration. And then we'll send out an amended notice that Senate File 76, Private Roads, will be heard.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 10, number 4, Education, will meet tomorrow upon adjournment in room 302, where we will take up Senate File 22 in gross, school facility amendments, Senate File 38 in gross, people first language, and Senate File 71, Hathaway Scholarship Success Curriculum.
Chairman Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet this afternoon, Tuesday, February the 26th, upon adjournment in committee room number H17 to discuss Senate File 25 in gross, National Guard Life Insurance Contribution Option, and Senate File 30, Commercial Vehicle Licensing.
Other committee announcements. Other announcements. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House recess until 2 p.m.
You have heard the motion. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. All opposed, say no. The House is in recess until 2 p.m. today.